What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. I haven't been drunk in a while, I think. I didn't even get drunk for Thanksgiving. I drank, but I drank responsibly. I don't know. But I drank Southern Comfort. Ash will be happy about that, and we'll talk to him in a minute about it. All right, it was quite a contrast from the last week to this week. Based on Sean Payton's post-game press conference, that was on purpose. Taysom's performance was intentional. I guess they didn't want the Broncos to feel bad about their quarterback situation. I don't know. Regardless, the thin air was not much of a factor as the Saints caught more of Denver's passes than the Broncos did. We'll cover the game, we'll cover pick'ems, we'll cover the NFL, and we'll look ahead to the second Falcons hate week in less than 14 days. But first, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number as well. It's 3:15 in the afternoon, so at least
what's
here.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I have this little thing called a job that I can't really drink. So, hey, but Saints won, so
you're happy.
It's a good Monday. Happy. So, happy Monday.
Because we have to have somebody drinking, we got the UK guys with us. We have Ash. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am about a 4. Literally before I came on there, I was drinking Southern Comfort. Southern lemonade I was drinking.
Oh, and lemonade. That's a nice idea. Okay.
Yeah, some Socco and lemonade this evening. While my wife made homemade meatballs and spaghetti. So, yeah, it was quite nice.
Very nice. I drank it, mine with red cream soda. Southern Comfort and red cream soda was not too bad, but I would like to try it.
Surprised you didn't say tea.
I did have my cup of tea this morning, my English tea, eggnog tea. All right, speaking of English tea, Ben, welcome to the show. How many teas have you drank?
Here's something for you. I fucking hate tea.
Really?
I can't stand it.
What are you, a coffee drinker?
Yeah, 100%. I think tea tastes like dishwater.
I agree.
What?
I hate tea. Yeah, not all British people like tea. Yeah,
not
it's horrible.
How stereotypical.
That is a major stereotype that we like tea.
Yeah, I don't like tea. But no, I go with a 1 instead of beer of dinner and just sort of chilling out, enjoying the PS5 at the moment.
So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we said, for everybody, as we say every week, I hope you listened to the 2-point conversion instant reaction show yesterday and the lead up into this one. We're going to continue the conversation in the game recap.
I think it's pretty much, you know, he didn't have a good game. If you look at stats, but going by what Peyton said, he did exactly what Peyton asked of him. You know, Peyton had one game plan going into it, and that game plan completely shifted and changed when they found out that Denver wasn't going to have any starting quarterbacks.
So how does that change to the point where Taysom plays like shit?
Well, I don't know that he played like shit. Like, Peyton said he drilled into him 24, you know, right there, don't cause turnovers. Like, that was the big key in that game. Don't turn the ball over. The only way we can lose
he fumbled the ball.
Is if you... No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He threw an interception.
No,
oh, he did drop a ball. But he picked it up.
But in his defense, he has to do that at least once a game this year. That's...
As far as passing goes, he didn't want him to throw picks. And
so
you saw there's a lot of times where
double coverage and
he made a mistake. He's not perfect. I mean,
AJ Boye is a good corner as well.
It's his fucking second
Denver
game.
Denver has a good defense and the Saints were missing the left side of the line. I'll give him that. But
second game
was,
as an NFL starter.
But he played better in the first game.
Well, he was more hesitant.
He played scared.
On this one because
so Sean Payton made it. And Sean Payton did not coach well. You shouldn't have drilled it into him that much. You should have let the guy play. But instead, when you, it's the power of suggestion. Don't throw a pick. Don't throw a pick. Don't turn the ball over. So all he's thinking now is turnover, turnover, turnover. And now he goes and he tries to throw the ball and he pulls it back. And if he would have thrown it that first, you know, the pass I'm talking about, the little out route to the left, he would have completed the pass, but he got scared. He played scared.
I think it's just one of the, it's one of those games where I think it was just very, it's such a preseason feel to it. There's no problem. So. Everything they planned during the week went out, as well as the Broncos, everything went out the window because we didn't need to show a game plan to beat that Denver team. It was simple football. And so Taysom's game plan just completely got turned on its head with such short time. He maybe didn't know like exactly who he was supposed to throw to in those simple plays because he wasn't rehearsing them in practice. You know, he's just, like I said, the game plan was just keep it simple.
What was the game plan before then?
Don't know.
I think it was more like the Falcons game
where
he was going to, you know, throw the ball a lot. Obviously, this game plan was run. It was run heavy. Run, run, run. We're going to run Taysom. We're going to run Murray. We're going to run Kamara. We're going to run. They can't stop us. We don't need to throw the ball a lot. I mean, Taysom only was – he threw 16 passes
right
the entire game. You know, he was 9 for 16. You didn't need to do a lot.
I'm not buying that their quarterback changed our offensive scheme that much. I get the – to me, the better excuse is we were missing the left side of the line and that we did switch to a run-heavy play. The run plays, that's not the problem. The problem is Taysom, those 16 times that he did drop back to pass, left a lot to be desired. And I don't care if your coach is telling you don't turn the ball over. Now, bringing it down and taking the sack, that's fine. Running plays is a great idea when you have a quarterback like Taysom Hill. Yes, that's a smart game plan going into this game.
I think it's extremely harsh to be judging a guy on his second start in the NFL. You're going to have bad games. He's human. Like, yes, he didn't play amazing, but was he set up to play amazing? No, he didn't have the left side of his offensive line.
But what's funny is if he comes out in the Atlanta game and plays like he did in the first Atlanta game, Jeff's going to love him.
Yes. Yes.
You're one of those typical fans, Jeff, aren't you? So as soon as he puts a foot wrong, you're all over.
Yeah, once he has strings enough games together and we can see a big, big picture, then yeah, but I'm reacting to this game because that's the segment, the game recap. I'm not happy with the performance in this game.
I think you're overreacting a little bit.
Could it be, right, the fact that we've had, you know, I'll go back to us being spoiled with the fact that last season and this season we've had Breeze and we had Bridgewater, you know, and Bridgewater, you know, did the job when Breeze went down. Is it because we've been so spoiled with great quarterback play and then we have Taysom who didn't perform to our expectations in this game that you're thinking that's why he played shit because we've been spoiled? Because to me, that's what I think.
I'm trying to keep that in mind because you're right. Like I'm not trying to hold Taysom up to Breeze's standards, but from what scares me, and maybe that's where it's coming from, a place of fear. What scares me is the indecisiveness, is holding the ball too long or almost throwing it and not throwing it. The times that he did that, and it hurt the team, or the bad, terrible throws that he threw it to nowhere. It just, and that can be excused by don't throw a turnover. Okay, that's fine. But because there's always been that criticism all along about the indecisiveness and that he's quicker to tuck and run. And if the game plan said it, we'll see next week. We'll see next week. But
didn't we say last season when Bridgewater was playing that people use that same exact reason that he was too indecisive?
He took
too much time to release the ball.
Yes.
So, and you know,
and Jameis the day and Jameis the week before the Falcons game.
Exactly. So, you know, Bridgewater went 5-0. You know, at this moment in time, Taysom Hill is 2-0. So regardless of it, you know, don't get me wrong, it was
a playing against a team without a quarterback. I mean,
doesn't matter.
I think if we played a team with a quarterback,
it does not matter. At the end of the day, he's still got two W's in that
against a good defense. And admittedly, the Broncos have a good defense. Yeah, I'm not trying to shit all over Taysom. I'm not trying to be like the national media. I'm just saying there was some things that I saw in the game that are cause for concern if they're not corrected. They scare me going into the Falcons game, but I'm going to trust that they all know what they're doing, and this is just a blip.
Okay, so would you put Jameis in after Taysom's performance? So you're still riding with Hill?
Yes.
It's not, that's fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just not pleased with the performance on the 16. Actually, I'm pleased with 9 of the 16 pass plays. And you're right. You're right. The fact that we sit here and we say, well, Teddy was too indecisive. Jameis is too indecisive. Taysom Hill is too indecisive. Maybe they are like average decisive as a normal quarterback is. And we're just used to, like you said, Ash, we're used to Drew Brees, who is extremely decisive. He knows where he's going with the ball before
what's going to happen next year if Brees does not return?
When Brees does not return? Yeah, I don't know.
So, sorry, if he doesn't return next season, if he calls it a day now at the end of this season, whether we draft a rookie quarterback, you know, there's a lot of, you know, James had said it in our group that it was that quarterback from Alabama. What if he's too indecisive? You know, this is the thing that we've been spoiled by Brees for so many years. And when somebody else takes the mantle, we're quick enough to basically send him down the river. So, you know, the way that I look at it is Taysom is 2-0. We're 9-2. So regardless of his indecisiveness, he will get better. And I believe come the Falcons hate week this Sunday, we will get our brooms out. We'll sweep the motherfuckers.
I'm really not worried about the quarterback situation. Okay. I'm really not. I genuinely think it's something people are, because elsewhere the team is fucking unbelievable. This team is like,
well,
it's incredible.
Forward, right?
And that is why people are picking at the quarterback situation, because it's the only uncertainty on the team, because it is Taysom Hill, not Drew Brees. And honestly, as long as he's good enough to see us through this patch, just like Teddy was last year, then we make a decision what's going to be the future after Brees. Either or, but I think he's doing a good job now. We've got 2 wins out of 2. Let's revolve on to the third. Not have to worry and heap even more pressure on him going into next week.
And one more thing I'll say on it is, you know, obviously we were run heavy this game, you know, and you know, there's like, right, you know, try and stop the run. Until you start stop the run, we're going to keep going to it every time, and it paid dividends. You know, Latavius Murray had a cracking game, right? And it's a case of, if the Falcons now next week, we'll go into it later on, but if the Falcons say, right, well, you know, we'll load the box and we'll, you know, stop the run, then maybe Taysom didn't show all his, you know, what he can do of, you know, launching it 20 yards down the road, you know, the field like he did against the Falcons. So if they stop the run, maybe we'll see Taysom from last week. But if we don't, then it would be a cause of concern.
Right.
You know, yeah, Murray had 128 yards.
Murray, present.
Rushing. Obviously, the rushing attack was going to be the main focus. I mean, shit, we still scored 31 points against a good defense. Taysom had one pick. Like I said, he's not going to be perfect.
That pick actually wasn't even his fault.
He threw in a double coverage. Actually, Callaway was one-on-one coverage up the middle and was open on that play. Okay. So
Didn't Brady throw 3 picks last night?
Yes, I believe he did.
Who?
Karen Brady threw 3 interceptions.
Did he say Brady?
You know, whereas Taysom Hill only threw 1, so...
Mm-hmm. The only, and you know,
so I there, think that actually is right there is proof. Taysom Hill is better than Karen Brady.
Yeah.
And I think too, and the issue that was with Taysom. Okay. So Atlanta played mostly man to man. They played a little bit of zone, but it wasn't much. Denver played pretty much all zone, which is a little harder to read.
Are you worried that means Atlanta's going to switch to a zone?
They might. But I don't know if they have the personnel to do it, to play it well, effectively, like Denver can.
That's true. Okay.
You know, you can switch the defense, but you got to have the personnel to do it. And I would imagine that Peyton will make adjustments and we'll have him studying film on zone defenses, because as we've said before, more teams get tape on him, they'll start to notice more things about Taysom. And if he's having trouble picking up the zone reads and where to throw the ball, I'm sure that's something that they will practice more and game plan for.
We haven't spoke about Latavius Murray yet. I know you mentioned him in the 2-point conversion, but like, this guy, I think, is so underrated on this team. And yes, we've got Kamara, but we could use Murray a lot more than we actually are at the moment, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think they used him a lot this game. You know, they were going to power run and they used him and he balled out. You know, he's the kind of guy, kind of similar to Ingram was, where the more carries he gets, the better he gets as the game goes on. And I don't think Sean's really given him too much of a chance. I think this game he kind of showed what he can do. So hopefully maybe we'll see more of him. And, you know, I still think something's off with Kamara. Like,
yeah, 100%.
I don't know if his foot's still bothering him or what. So, look, if Murray can play like he did yesterday, you know, give Kamara some rest and start feeding it to Murray.
He was superb.
So, yeah, Murray's got – what do you have – 19 carries against Denver, 12 against Atlanta, and that's up from 8, 10, and 9 the three games before that.
So he's getting involved more. It's nice to see.
I mean, a little bit more, obviously more yesterday. I think if Denver were normal and it was a normal game plan, he might have been another 12 or 13. You know, I think that the run first game plan accounted for maybe 5-6 of his extra carries. But the fact that he got 100 and he averaged, this was his best average. He had the most, he had 19 carries. He averaged 6.5 yards per run. Whereas on his regular average is more like 4 to 5 yards per run, which even still, again, remember what Damon used to say about Mark Ingram, you know, you get 3.5 yards per carry, you take that all day.
Yeah.
That was Ingram's average. We got to run it. Like Latavius Murray gets 5-6 yards per carry.
He's a big man,
and he runs it up the middle.
Yeah. I didn't realize how big he actually was until he came to the Saints. Obviously, I knew him at Oakland and then at Minnesota, but when he rocked up at the Saints, you saw how big he actually is.
One thing, you know, kind of overshadowed in this game, being though, you know, it was Taysom and it was also the team we were playing didn't have a quarterback. But I mean, our defense is fucking stellar. I mean, they are playing amazing right now. Number one defense, you know, in the NFL as far as giving up yards. Held Denver, you know, I mean, they held them to 3 points. I know they weren't going to really do much, but you still got to go out and, you know, play. And they've just been amazing. Cam Jordan's really starting to kind of come on a little bit these past few games. So, you know, props to them. They did a really good job.
So did you know that was that was his third 100-yard rushing game as a Saint?
Murray? No, I didn't know that.
He had two last year against the Bears and against the Cardinals.
And going back to the defense, they broke the record. They were tied with the Eagles. They broke the record 54 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, which is pretty, you know, pretty amazing. Especially yesterday when you knew they were going to be running, and that's all they were going to be doing, really, and to hold them under, you know, any play. I think the closest player was 50 yards.
That's a cool game to have that record broken on for that reason, right? It's a game where Denver passed 9 times, and every single other play was a running play. That's, if you're, you know, it's pretty awesome to break the record on that kind of game and not a regular game.
And yeah. I don't know if this is, I think it is linked, but I don't think it gets spoke about enough as it is. But I really think the addition of Quan Alexander has just made the whole defense just step up massively.
That's huge.
Dude, that's huge. A guy to talk about too.
And DeMarco Davis, like, him and Davis, that chemistry they built on straight away.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, considering he came in halfway through the season. Like, yeah, that is a heck of a trade by the Saints.
That's respect. Yeah, I mean, that's what that is. That's mutual respect. That Davis is excited to have a guy like Quan next to him. and vice versa. These two guys just love playing together. They already trust one another. They're fantastic athletes. Dude, DeMario Davis, he made like one mistake yesterday, and it really was just more of a good move, a little spin move by the running back than it was a mistake on DeMario's part. But dude, Quan,
like this
little tandem, this is a great friendship brewing.
And I really hope we can restructure his deal next year. He can come back and see those two be a force for a couple of years, because supporting the defensive line the way they do is watching them come down and making the tackles. It's they're everywhere. It's fast paced. It's rapid. It's just exciting. It's so exciting to watch. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Very exciting. In fact, instead of people make signs in the dome where we can't do them and all that, but maybe I'd love to see like people into like Falcon and Winter Soldier. It should be like DeMario and Quan, like they should be like the Falcon and Winter Soldier tandem or something.
Well, I tweeted out earlier on that I reckon that they're the Brothers of Destruction of the NFL.
The Brothers of Destruction. Yeah, yeah, we need to create some sort of a...
Yeah, the Brothers of Destruction of the NFL. You just decide which one's Kane and which one's The Undertaker. And
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. 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 I like that.
Only if we didn't have a name for a linebacking group for the Saints. Only. If only.
Well, to be the Dome Patrol, they would have to have all four linebackers. You can't. Yeah. It's like Voltron. You can't build the entire robot.
Yeah.
All four of them. So until then, I like Brothers of Destruction.
I like that. I do like that. They are exciting. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson again. Fantastic, I thought.
His first ever NFL interception.
Yeah, I thought he already had one, but
was the first one. Just talked a lot.
Just talks a lot. Yeah.
Any news on Janaris Jenkins? Because I haven't seen any news on him yet.
Looks okay.
Said after the game that he would be fine. I don't know. I haven't heard anything specific on him. They just said he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. They'll shoot him up with something. I think he just kind of hyperextended, like a little.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of lucky they were playing on grass because it allowed his foot to come up underneath. If they were playing on, certain turfs, that could have been very bad.
And I think Lattimore dropped a potential interception, and there was one or two more potential interceptions dropped.
I think Jenkins dropped one too.
Yeah, Jenkins dropped one. They're like back to back as well. It was like, are we trying to give these guys a chance?
Yeah, that was awesome. And everybody says it was a preseason feeling or a boring kind of a feeling. It was not to me. I did not get that same feeling. Now, granted,
you didn't watch it live,
right? I was delayed, so I fast forwarded all the in between plays, or not even in between plays. I fast forwarded commercials, so it was a faster experience.
Trust me, 11 p.m. at night, after you've been up working all day from 6 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting there watching it, and it was a snooze fest. It was literally, come on, just run the clock out, come on, because it was just one of those games where, as soon as we scored, in our WhatsApp group, I get very bold when I think the Saints won a game, and it's almost come back to haunt me before in the past. Mm-hmm. But I was tempted to, as soon as we scored the first touchdown, I was tempted to call it game there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I am surprised we only did get him away with one sack. I thought we would have had more sacks, but.
They didn't have the chance of
sacking. I mean, they were running so much that it was kind of hard. And I mean, that quarterback, the guy who didn't end up playing quarterback was a wide receiver, so he was going to be pretty quick. Kind of maybe prepare you for Mahomes later in the year when he's running around.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that game. That's going to be a fantastic.
He can throw it.
Yeah, he can bloody throw it.
So, all right. Anything left on the game recap?
Nope.
Sean Payton is now beating every single. Team in the NFL, but
this
Saints.
Is correct. And what is that?
There was a correction. He said he did beat the Saints once because he made a bad call on a play or something. And
okay. That's so true. Yeah.
The Falcons game last year was his fault.
said he did feel kind of sad and disappointed for all the cardboard fans in the stands.
I heard that
had to watch that game. It was all South Park.
South Park
people out there.
Perhaps the great ringworm of Bailey is about.
Ringworms are no match for a dwarf.
Yes, we shall slay the ringworm and take its bounty of treasure. For that is the way of...
I shall put a magic spell on you.
I have blocked your spell, wizard. Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're playing Harry Potter.
Fags!
So, the other thing I wanted to talk about was Troutman. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh!
Yeah?
What was the stat where he was...
The third highest graded tight end or something I had saw.
The third highest blocker, period.
Yeah.
Which includes linemen.
Like, I think
he took more snaps than Cook by like 3-1 almost. And Grant, a lot of people are saying because of his run blocking ability, but the dude can catch too. I wonder if some of this is finance related, to where you're not going to see Jared Cook on this team next year. Is this a contract year for Cook?
I think we have an option. Yeah, I think it was a 3-year deal, but we can get out of it without any cap hit, I think.
Yeah.
I believe so. Or it was a 2-year deal and last year we could have gone out. One of the two. I think we can either get out of this year without any cap hit. So, Or he's actually out of contract under this. But yeah, I think it's goodbye to Jared Cook after this. He's really disappointed me this season. I thought he ended last season really well and I thought, we've got a serious tight end on our hands here. But he's just
be having a little hurt injury, something nagging or whatever.
Even he's come out and said he's played bad this year and he's not happy with the way he's played.
He just gave way to Troutman, dude. And as the better Troutman plays, then the easier it's going to be for the Saints to part with Cook.
Yeah, let's get him involved in the passing game a little. Let's see that. We know he can block now. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah. Cool. There was, I think it was either last night or the week before, where Taysom threw it. I think it was last night. It was a little high. Okay, that's on Taysom. But it wasn't so high that if he would have jumped and put his hands up and tried, he would have caught it. But he did like this half-hearted leap with one hand in the air, like, eh. And
didn't leap like a salmon.
No, he didn't.
You like it.
I do like that. I like that. And that was the last we saw of him. And I wonder if, he's given like this little half-hearted effort here and there. And I want a guy that's going to come out here and give it his all every time. Troutman's playing to make the team, you know? This was a preseason game, as y'all said. So anyway, that's the game recap. Let's do a quick check-in on NFL Reach Around.
Said that the NFL are pondering a third postponement of the Ravens Steelers game.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that because apparently the issue is, well, it's a few things. One, that
the Raiders, the Ravens are scared to play the Steelers and are coming up with excuses to not play the game.
They were talking about walking out or something. The Ravens players, I mean, they've got almost 20 players on COVID. Plus, I think with the weather, they were having trouble getting a flight to Pittsburgh because it was supposed to be snowing or something. I don't know
I'll
how
tell
you
this
move
much
it further.
If the game is scheduled to be played and the Ravens strike by not wanting to play, they forfeit the game. And Pittsburgh, they can forfeit the game.
If they're willing
to forfeit the game, that's fine. They're going to lose anyway. They might as well just.
They should just forfeit anyway. The amount of players they've got. And it's their fuck up, to be honest. They've suspended a coach because they think it's linked to him because he was going around not wearing a mask and wasn't he the strength and conditioning coach or something? And yeah, exactly.
The only problem thing is better than that would be like the team doctor.
So they've kind of, well, with the Saints, you never know the team doctors. So let's not go there, hopefully. Right.
The problem is that there's fantasy implications. I need that gameplay.
I don't give a shit about your fantasy league because mine is decimated from week two.
But it's their own fault. They need to live with the consequences and forfeit the game.
Well, the fact that they fine the Saints a half a million dollars and take away a seventh round draft pick because there's a video of a locker room celebration without masks after a game that the NFL allowed them to play without masks.
Because everybody tested negative.
Tested negative, and then they get fined and $500,000 and a seventh round draft pick. The Ravens should be kicked out of the fucking league.
Basically, we're saying there's no Tommy, there's no Tommy Stevens next year.
Denver too. I mean, they had all their fucking quarterbacks that couldn't play because they didn't follow protocols. You know, it's the NFL has been too inconsistent with their penalties with this.
How?
I mean, they've
how?
Always been inconsistent with everything. How? But they're
you
not.
Just have a fucking. It's like a rate sheet. You know, it's like this is what it is. You do this, it's this. You do this, it's this. It's not that hard.
They're making it up as they go along, and that's the problem. They're
but
they're
even
punishing
if you do make
team.
It up, so okay, so the whatever the first punishment was, then fit it to everything else.
Well, they did. They said we're multiple violators. They punished the first time with the fine and Peyton, and they fined the team. They already did that once.
Oh, for Peyton's mask?
Yeah. So they fined the team and they fined Peyton. For him not wearing his mask properly. So they're saying this is a repeat offense, and that's why the penalty is harsher than the first time.
Okay, then every
the problem is that I see other videos of NFL teams celebrating in the locker room after the game, and they're not getting anything. That's the problem. They're not being consistent with all the teams.
Let me tell you something I noticed yesterday too. The referee, the white hat referee, walked up to Taysom Hill, no mask, started talking to him, and then put his mask on. Fine him.
They're not going to fine a referee.
He just breathed on our quarterback. He was this close. And for those of you not watching on the live stream, because we're not live streaming, I'm putting my hand less than 1 foot away. He was 1 foot away from Taysom Hill's face talking. And you know the guy spraying it, not saying it.
That's a foot long, is it? I've been lied to.
It's American.
Y'all measure meters over there, don't y'all?
All right, no, so, but seriously, anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to nitpick about stuff, then look at every video, because I can tell you, if I look for it, I can find every team, every coach, every player, every referee violating some sort of COVID protocol.
But not everyone is called the New Orleans Saints, Jeff.
That's right.
But Jeff, guess what?
I mean, it was the same way with Bounty Gate. I mean, there were other teams that were doing the same shit.
Yeah, cool.
But they punished us.
But guess what? With this punishment, with the seventh round and the $500,000, I don't give a fuck. It was so worth it beating Brady that time. Don't care. Have it. You're not going to get a rise out of me like you got a rise out of you. Because end of the day, we're going all the way.
All right, so other games in the NFL, the Chiefs beat the Bucks, so that was good.
49ers. Good 41 on the Cowgirls.
Tyreek Hill just went off yesterday.
The Niners took care of the Rams. We got a lot of help from around the league. The only one that didn't help was Chicago. Screw them.
Shock.
Right. I mean, not that we expected help from Chicago.
I'm just a little bit worried about Green Bay's running for the rest of the season. They've got quite an easy schedule, haven't they?
They do, but it's
I think they've only really got they've got the tiebreak over us there. They've got the Eagles what they're gonna win, they've got the Lions what they're gonna win, the Panthers aren't gonna do us any favours, the Titans, who maybe, and then they've got the Bears again. Like that's
maybe all their quarterbacks will get COVID and they'll have a Denver situation.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully Aaron Rodgers will get COVID when he's doing his fucking State Farm commercial. Fucking bearded prick.
I mean, it's 2020. God knows anything can happen. So, you know, what you going to do? I'll be real interested to see when we do play the Chiefs matching up Lattimore on Hill, Tyreek Hill, or Jenkins on Hill. That'll be very, very interesting to see that. That's something I'm kind of looking forward to.
Did Brady shake Mahomes' hand at the end of the game? I can't see any.
He did.
Fucking hell, well done.
Of course he would.
Well, because it's him. If it was a rookie, he wouldn't have done it.
No. If it was Joe Burrow, he would have gone worship at his feet.
Well, if it was Joe Burrow, he'd have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me sad. Burrow.
Watching them put 41 points on the Cowgirls and seeing Jerry Jones' disappointed face on national TV is a lovely sight to behold.
Yeah, they're hot garbage right now.
Oh, I love it. Fucking Jerry Jones, what a prick.
Titans beat the Colts. Derrick Henry had a pretty damn good game. 3 touchdowns. I don't know how many yards he had. Let's see, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns against a really good Colts defense. Kind of surprised to see him do that well against a good Colts defense.
All right, both winning teams on Thanksgiving scored 41 points.
Yep. Who's in first place? The Giants are in first place right now?
The Giants are first place. That's the first time the Giants have won out of their division this year.
Yeah.
And they're top of their division. How does that work?
The funny thing, right, seeing the playoff picture graphic during the game yesterday and seeing the Giants as like an actual, not just a wild card, but a division winner, even though it's still a wild card, but the division winner was just like, there's just something just dramatically wrong about that.
Oh, God. It's cyber.
For a losing record. That should be a new rule proposed next offseason. Is like, even if you if you win your division, if you have, you know, less than 5 wins, you're not allowed in the tournament.
But don't you want to be the wild card team that sneaks into the playoffs and have to play the NFC East?
Oh yeah. And is it reverse seeding where let's say the Saints get the bye? Does that mean we play potentially the Giants if they make it past round one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I withdraw my rule. Dude, yeah, imagine getting to play the Giants in our first playoff game, our divisional round.
It's another bye, isn't it?
Okay. All right. Let's do a quick dive into pick'ems.
Like the rest, your failure is my success. It's all about control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it.
All right, I did not record everything because we are still. Well, Jason chose one of the games to be the Ravens and Pittsburgh game, and so we're waiting to see the results of that one. I didn't tally everything. But I will note, Ash, aside from that game, you're like 0-4.
I told you, it happens every year.
James is 0-4. I went 2-2. Scott went 0-4. Wow, you guys really suck. Ben, I don't have your picks, so...
I forgot to send them. I was driving listening to the show.
Classic Ben.
So, hang on, wait a minute. So I'm 0-0. So what can I say? It's still better than 0-4.
0-4.
Yeah, it's better than 0-4.
You're 0-4. You are 0-4. You don't submit picks, you take the loss.
Okay.
That's how I win. All right. So because Jason's not here and I do like the way he cut in with his little picks last week, but he did actually send them in for us to read them. So we'll do a quick pick'ems. Cleveland at Tennessee is our first game. And this one is the Baker Mayfield Cleveland Browns, who are better than you think they are. The Tennessee Titans, who seem to be, are they up and down? But they kicked the Colts' ass this weekend. So much respect to Tennessee. This one's in Tennessee, and they are favored by 5.5 points.
Oh, Titans.
Ash, you're taking Tennessee.
Do I have to tweet you my picks as well, even though I'm on the
episode? No. If you're on the show, you don't have to tweet.
5.5.
That's what I'm struggling with, the 5.5.
I'm going to go Browns.
Okay, I'm also taking the Browns.
Not on the Browns. It's the first time I think they can have a winning record since since 2006, isn't it?
Yeah, Browns are 8-3 right now, so they're at least 500. Tennessee's also 8-3. I mean, this is a pretty big game. This is a big game.
I'm going to take the Titans. That may have sided Ash, Bugs.
This is not good for me. That's it. I'm fucked.
All right, next game, the Los Angeles Rams are playing at the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams coming off of a loss, is that right? To
the
49ers. Yep, a division game. They're going into another division game. Arizona On the other hand, what did they do? Did they
lost to the Patriots?
Or they lost to the Patriots by 3. That they lost in New England. So Arizona at home getting 3 points.
Rams.
All right. I will also take the Rams.
Divisional game.
No, do it. Rams. Yeah, I was going to say, because Sean McVay has actually never lost against the Arizona Cardinals. He's got their number.
All right, next game. Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Houston, are they? I'm wondering, are they still hot garbage?
Well, they beat Detroit, but that's not saying much.
That is not saying much at all.
Because Patricia got fired, didn't they? Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, they did do that. And then Indianapolis, though, is 7-4. So this is another division game. Texans are 4-7. Colts coming off that loss to Tennessee that we just talked about. This one is going to be, I said, in Houston. And Houston is getting 2.5 points.
Indy, please.
Indy.
That Colts defense will come back, so give me the Colts.
All right. I make that an Indy four-way. And the next game takes us to the New England Patriots playing against the up and down, never to be relied upon, good team that always plays bad or bad team that always plays good, the Los Angeles Chargers. This one is in Los Angeles, and they are favored by 1. New England is actually getting a point, which makes me take New England.
Give me the Chargers.
We'll take the Chargers as well.
Wow.
Give me the Pats.
All right. And now it's time for our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's
presented by Odell Beckham. Let's not forget, never forget. This one is going to feature the Thanksgiving destruction that is Detroit against the Chicago Trubisky's. Chicago, as we know, coming off of that loss against Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. Detroit is 4-7. Chicago, that puts them at 5-6. So Chicago is one of those teams that can, I think they can show up and play. The question is, do you believe that Detroit is going to respond to Patricia getting fired and actually show up with a win?
Answer that question is yes.
Will they win?
They're getting 4.
Yeah, they're getting 4. So not only will they win, right?
Not only will they win straight up, but they're also getting 4. Teams always, for some reason, play their ass off the week after their head coach gets fired.
The rumor, word on the street, is that the players all hated Patricia.
Oh, they hated his guts.
From day one. And
so, yeah, I'm taking Detroit. I think Detroit's going to smack Chicago down.
Yeah, same.
And is Trubisky playing for Chicago?
He said he's starting. Yes.
Okay, they're definitely
going to The coach said, they asked him, is Trubisky starting? He said, I don't see why not.
That's what his response was. Can we just take a minute and just imagine being a Chicago Bears fan? You moved up. You moved up to take Mitch Trubisky when Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were on the board. Imagine.
Classic Bears.
Ryan Pace.
Who are you taking, Ash?
Lions, please.
All right. That is your pick'ems, everybody. Don't forget to tweet them in before kickoff. Ash, Ben, pay attention for future reference. What you want to do is you want to open your Twitter machine.
I was driving.
My fucking Twitter machine.
You're going to compose a tweet at Dome Patrol PCast. That's the US, not the UK one. And you send us your picks. Hashtag pick'ems makes it easier for me to find. I'll like them when I record them. Usually that's Monday after the games, but you got to make sure that they're postmarked before the games kick off. All games are Sunday. There's no nighttime games. So then we'll recap the games real quick. Cleveland at Tennessee. Tennessee is giving up 5.5 points. The Rams at the Cardinals. The Cardinals are getting 3 at home. Indianapolis at Houston. Houston's getting 2.5 at home. New England at the Chargers. The Chargers are giving up 1. And the shitty game, Detroit at Chicago, where Detroit is getting 4 on the road. All right, let's get into our next segment, which is Saints Preview. And it's Falcons hate week once again.
Fuck the Falcons.
Feels like we just did this. But this is not uncommon that we play Atlanta twice in like a 2 week. Three week or 4 week period. The last couple of years, it's been that way.
Yeah,
feels like it.
For whatever reason. Yeah,
it's the they're trying to do a little bit like where they're stacking most of your division games toward the end of the season to make the end of the season that much more compelling.
Yeah, we're going for the sweep at the Falcons. You know, I kind of expect more of the same from the first game against the Falcons. At least from the defense. The defense always seems to feast on them, especially Cam. Cam loves playing against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. He loves it. So I look for him to get quite a few sacks. We have 8 last game. I think we should shoot at least for 10 this game, huh? Get some double digits going. That would be nice. The Falcons got some film on Taysom, so we'll see what kind of adjustments they make, what kind of adjustments we make. You know, I would assume that Peyton's not going to do the exact same thing that he did last time because that would kind of be foolish. But hopefully Taysom will have a good game. He won't be scared to throw the ball, and we'll come away with a win.
Get the brooms ready. We're going to sweep them like we did in 2018. We're going to sweep them. Go 5-0 in the division.
We have to. I mean, there's got to be no question that we sweep this team. That this is not a good Falcons team. I don't care if they're on a win streak in the middle of the season. Even though they didn't they won last week, right?
To us.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of the Raiders.
Yeah,
the Raiders. You know, which was kind of surprising, but. I don't know.
But the Raiders have kind of fallen off though. Like they started. The Raiders were a team that started better. And
yeah,
they're not good now.
Yeah, we're the exact opposite. We start off a little slow, and now we've picked it up. I think if we were playing the Raiders now, we'd smoke them.
Right.
Yeah, especially with Quan Alexander on the team now. I think we'd have somebody that could cover our tight end, hopefully.
Yeah. Julio was missing
the game. Put it this way, the Raider in the beginning of that game against the Raiders, the Falcons, all right, recovered a fumble on the 20-yard line or so. The Raiders 20-yard lines. The Falcons then gained no yards and had to settle for a field goal.
That sounds about right.
All right.
Now Julio did not play yesterday and Gurley did not play yesterday. So I assume that they will both play against the Saints because that's just how they roll. You know, they're going to get up for that game. I would assume both of them play. If neither one of them play, it might be more of a beatdown than we originally thought it would be.
Yeah. It's the whole cliche with a divisional game and a rivalry game. You just can't, you think you should be able to call it, but you wouldn't be surprised if weird shit happened.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. But
we'll see.
The Falcons will be up for this game. They will want, you know, to put a loss in our column. So they'll be fired up for this game. So
stick to the ground game. Run the ball. Play well on defense.
What's the story on Julio?
He didn't play last week. Got a hamstring.
Yeah.
He injured the hamstring in the Saints game. He didn't play against the Raiders. Him and Gurley didn't play either. So, you know, maybe they were resting for the Saints game. I don't know. But I assume that both of them will play against the Saints.
It's not like it's going to matter.
That's what I'm saying.
So they can come in all fired up all they want. But the Saints are also going to come in fired up. This defense is this. They're playing against the number one defense in the NFL. All right.
So. Yeah, it's the number one defense in the NFL. Who would have thought that 3-4 years ago?
Right. So Taysom, I'm going to say Taysom's going to look better.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, and I'm hoping, honestly, and it's something we kind of talked about last time. I'm hoping this is, you know, I'm hoping Breeze comes back for Philly. I hope this is his last game starting. He can go back to his, you know, special teams, running back, tight end, wildcat, whatever kind of role. Because I would prefer Breeze to play in Philly to knock the rust off. I don't want him knocking rust off against Kansas City. Yeah. So hopefully Breeze will be back against Philly. I'm going to say 45-17. Falcons score a late touchdown. You know, second string players in. And it's 45-17.
I think we will. It will be 28-10.
I thought you were going to go 3.
I think, like you said, they'll get a late touchdown with the scrubs in.
I'm going to go for a nice round figure of
120.
Shut up, you tit. It'll be 42-15.
Uh-huh. That's a round number for a football game.
40-10. Say that all the time.
Five field goals.
I was going to say something like a 50 burger, but then last time I said a 50 burger, we fucked up. So no, we'll stay away from the 50 burgers.
Will we have our lineman back? Taron Armstead's back.
I don't know. He started showing symptoms today, possibly of COVID. If he's showing symptoms of COVID, he will not play next week. I believe it's 10 days once you start showing actual symptoms of COVID.
What about Pete?
Pete, I don't know.
You got to wait to the injury report.
I haven't heard anything on Pete.
The Falcons don't really have that much of a pass rush, right?
No.
Okay. So, but I do think that's still going to be an impact. I mean, you are playing against some backups here.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they have some good linebackers. Deion Jones is, you know, going to be probably all over the place.
Yeah. I could see, I'll go 28-3.
Hey,
that should be all of our score predictions. We'll play the Falcons.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. 28-3. All right.
Imagine. I think Twitter would break if we won 28-3.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be so awesome. I really do wonder if we shoot for that.
Sean Payton. The thing is, Payton would.
Right. All right. So the other thing is, earlier today, I did post a kind of a fill in the blank game for all of our Twitter followers to follow. Just play a fun Falcons Hate Week game. And I just wanted to read some of the answers. So what I posted was the Falcons have no blank, and told everybody on Twitter to fill in the blank. Falcons have no right to exist. That's coming from JMood88. Then Ash, you posted a bunch from the Dome Patrol UK. Falcons have no idea how to play football. The Falcons have no idea how to keep a lead. The Falcons have no class. The Falcons have no taste. We got at Procrastinatus says the Falcons have no fans. Let's see. Keith Wardle 13 says the Falcons have no Super Bowl victories. let's see. Neil from the UK. Neil says the Falcons have no fucking chance. So there's just some of our favorites over there. Can't Guard Matt says the Falcons have no fans, ground, etc. And then some picture of some old dude that you guys are supposed to explain to us.
We'll explain that later. I will send you a video. It's okay. Very funny. Wilston Raider, if any UK fans are listening, it's the Wilston Raider. Falcons got no Wilston Raider.
All right, we'll have to learn who that is. So, yeah, there was some of them. Don't forget, send us those. I love reading them. They're very fun. Give us your wittiest and your best response. That is going to bring us to final thoughts. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
I do have a final thought. Something was revealed to me after we went off the air last week. If y'all remember a few weeks back, when somebody was given, I don't remember who was, I think it was Breeze. Breeze was doing an interview on the field, and Jameis Winston came in and ate the W And Jeff threw a big old hissy fit about how Winston came in and that it was bullshit and that he didn't like it and all the stuff. Well, come to find out.
All right, that's all we even have for you right now.
Jeff never even watched the freaking video clip of him doing it.
Wow.
And then after, and then last week.
At the time, I didn't need to see it.
After last week, he finally saw the actual video and admitted that it was pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
See?
I love it.
All that complaining.
I love it. I want the shirt now. I want the shirt.
He wants the shirt now.
I want a coffee mug.
All right, so that's my fault.
I'm all about the eat the W.
I gotta.
That was also when we thought Jameis was gonna be the guy, and I think if Jameis was the guy and was winning as the guy, then the eat the W thing could have actually taken off. And after further review, this proves that I am a rare find of someone who can receive new information and actually change his opinion on something. This is something that a lot of people on Twitter and around the world should probably learn from, is that it is okay to form a better opinion after you receive new and relevant information about the topic.
Speaking of Winston, real quick, do y'all think there's any truth to the rumor that they are not playing him so they can get him for cheap next year?
There was an article. Him? There was a long article posted about that.
I don't believe that.
I wouldn't put it past Peyton to have to do that to get him cheap and then to just, you know, really have him a full, you know, camp hopefully next year and groom him as a possible starter.
I think it is a believable story. I think that stuff like this probably happens in the NFL, across the NFL, more than you think it does. That certain decisions are made, and there's certain, it's all about money. It's a financial decision.
Yeah.
Don't show what he's capable of so that he can go then fetch a higher price.
Yeah.
He might not want to sign with us if he doesn't think he's going to be the starter. And he has that option too. I don't know. Unless Peyton's told him, look, this is why we're doing it. No, he wouldn't tell him that because he would want more money.
No, you know, right. We're doing this to screw you out of money.
Yeah. Never mind. Screw that. He wouldn't tell. No. Anyway, just threw that out.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I just hope Jameis hasn't read the article.
I don't think Jameis can read.
He's got his eye surgery. He can read.
No, he can just see things far away. He can't read.
Can't see the price tag for crab legs, though.
Free?
Those were given to him illegally, and he took the fall for the team. He's a damn hero, and you quit making fun of the guy for it.
He did. National hero.
So that's what happened. They're not allowed to receive freebies, so he took the fall for the team so that the team didn't get in trouble. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Follow the Dome all for free. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer. And follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned show, there's Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, no quarterback Bronco donkeys.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Nation. All that shit is fun. All we coming with is a little bit of swing. And we fall like it ain't no thing. Hey, one more style it and I think there was one for another. Raiders, we kind of chose some more. But you know it. Fuck up the dust all since NCAA. And it did nothing when the hair wake up from this day. Still we're down like that. Still we're down like that. Still we're down like that. Kicking up all that smells so strong. We will arise. Cover around the country.
giving it the best. We like to see the people dancing and bouncing and the rest.
The hammer and the chisel and the rule it comes.